The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is the division grades, free agency division grades. We hit all eight divisions in tiny little mini pods, and this is the NFC East. Reminder that opening day was this Thursday, April 1st. If you need any last minute fantasy baseball advice, and as you continue into the season and you try to figure out who to pick up, who to add, do you trust that performance on opening day? Do you trust that Buster Posey hit a home run? Buster Posey, he's older than me and Ryan Wilson. Do you trust that he's back? Well, the only way to find out is by listening to Fantasy Baseball Today at 5 with Frank Stanfill, Scott White, and Chris Towers. It's the best way to stay up to date on the biggest news items in fantasy baseball in 5 minutes or less. Download and follow anywhere you can listen to this podcast. Wilson, what's happening?
Happy Friday as we're recording this. You're about to go on a whirlwind spring break tour. I'm looking forward to seeing those reports on Twitter as they happen in real time.
Yes, we are actually not supposed to mention what day it is on these podcasts, but do whatever you want. I'm kidding. I think this one would be fine. The Dallas, yeah, I'm going to go play some golf around the state. And
jeez. You played golf at home and now you're traveling to play more golf?
I'm going to play a lot of golf. A lot of golf.
Will you break 90?
I didn't on Thursday. I think I will on Friday. We'll see.
Best of luck.
I'll report my scores to the podcast. Coming up on Monday, we'll have a mock draft discussion with Wilson. I wonder when we'll record that one. But now let's dive into it. The Dallas Cowboys. They added Keanu Neal and Brent Urban, but most importantly, retained Dak Prescott. They saw Alden Smith walk out the door. What kind of grade would you give the Dallas Cowboys for their free agency performance?
Well, I mean, on the surface, you're giving them an A because they kept Dak, and that seems like an obvious no-brainer. But I think you have to ding them a little bit because it took them 2 years to figure out that they wanted to keep Dak and cost themselves $7 or $8 or $9 million a year in the process. Keanu Neal helps on defense. That's obviously a step in the right direction, but that defense is so bad that they need a ton of other help. So I'm going to go B minus, mostly Dak related, and didn't do a whole lot else otherwise. But I mean, Dak is a huge part of that. Dak will be the reason that they'll be in the mix to win that division. As we saw last year, Breach isn't here to defend himself, but Andy Dalton was straight up hot garbage.
Trash.
Some butthole said there's a path to 9-6. Should have said 9-7 now that the schedule's... Oh, no, 9-7, I said. Should have said 9-8 now that the schedule's...
And there's a path to 9-7, and it's not that hard a path.
That stupid voice is stuck in your head. But I'm going to go B minus Dak Prescott. If they had got the Dak Prescott done deal in a timely fashion, it's an A all day long, even though they didn't do much else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect way to break it down. They have been quiet in free agency, and that's fine. They just don't... They're trusting a lot of stars who have not necessarily been great about being on the field defensively, like Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, Keanu Neal too, Randy Gregory. Like, you're trusting these big names to be on the field and to be healthy so your defense can be good enough to win a bunch of games. And they need a leap from, you know, a guy like Trevon Diggs, who was a second round pick last year in the draft. I think your synopsis is perfect. If like they signed the biggest free agent in the class. They locked him down to a long-term deal. They made sure they kept him. He shouldn't have been a free agent in the first place. Like, he should have never been in this free agency class. He was the best free agent the last 2 years, and that's on the Cowboys. So I think I would even go as low as a C+, but I think a B- is a pretty good grade. And, you know, if Dak Prescott plays 16 games, it looks like Dak Prescott did before he suffered that injury last year, then the Cowboys would be competitive in this division. But it, I think there are still a lot of questions to be asked about, you know, that offensive line maybe, and certainly that defense. But the Cowboys, with a healthy Dak, should put up plenty of points, assuming that Mike McCarthy, you know, can still coach. All right, the New York Giants, they were actually big spenders in free agency. They went out and signed Kenny Galladay. Oh, they're actually, I skipped over their top signing. Mike Glennon! They signed Mike Glennon.
Have to leave with Mike Glennon.
That's right. They actually dropped a lunker of a contract on Kenny Galladay. They also paid Leonard Williams, who they had retained on the franchise tag, a substantial amount of money. And they went out and got Adoree Jackson to help at the cornerback position and Kyle Rudolph at tight end. I think, did they also sign... I guess they signed Devontae Booker, which is
Devontae Booker, John Ross. They just
John Ross. That's right.
Danny Shelton. You won't believe this, but Gettleman likes fat guys in the middle of the defense. So Danny Shelton's now on the roster.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, you're right. And didn't lose a whole lot of guys. It feels like an all in year for the Giants, doesn't it?
Yeah. So Golden Tate's gone. They cut him. Kevin Zeitler, they cut, and he signed with the Ravens, I do believe. Dalvin Tomlinson's a free agent still. I also believe that. So those are the guys that aren't really coming back. Or aren't coming back for sure. And it feels like exactly what you said. They're all in. I mean, it's a weird way to get here if you're a Dave Gettleman, if you're anti-Dave Gettleman, but they're here. So Kenny Galladay is huge. Kyle Rudolph is huge. Leonard Williams coming back is huge. Adoree Jackson helping bolster that secondary is huge. Patrick Graham, the defense coordinator, did a really good job last year. And we've talked about this in previous podcasts with Breach, that it feels like the Giants are they're legit contenders in that division. I'm going to give this an A plus probably isn't far off, but an A wow. In terms of getting better and getting substantially better in the offseason, addressing a ton of huge needs, starting with getting playmakers for Danny Dimes. You could argue they paid Kenny Galladay too much, but if you knew that contract before free agency opened, before the trickle it seemed like for wide receivers in free agency, you'd be fine with it. I do think, to your point, that this is make or break for Dave Gettleman. So
it's make or break for Dave Gettleman, make or break for Daniel Jones. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, listen, I'm right, but I feel like I kind of nailed this one, like how Dave Gettleman was going to approach this. He was going to go all in on his own stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like get Danny Dimes some weapons. And he did that with Kenny Galladay and John Ross. You know, we're not trying to say he's going to come save the franchise or anything, but he's, you know, a very cheap option with a ton of speed and a former first round wide receiver with a lot of talent. It just didn't work out for Cincinnati. You know, they, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I look at this and I want to be like D-, Dave Gettleman stinks, but I tend to agree with you. It's hard to go lower than a B+. This team looks good. Like this team looks like it could compete. And if Daniel Jones stinks and can't stop fumbling and can't stop throwing picks, then it won't matter. But if he takes a leap forward in his third year, and it's not impossible for that to happen with everything that's around him, I don't know, this team could easily win the division.
Yeah, I think either they're my favorites or they're you and Breach's favorites, and I have football team. But one of those two teams I feel like are going to be the favorites among the three of us heading into the summer.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll bury the Philadelphia Eagles for all that they did wrong this offseason.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Just kidding. Before we get to Philadelphia, we have to handle the football team. But I wanted to tease, you know, I'm mocking Debo, tease the Washington football team. It's locked up Brandon Scherff, kept him around. They lost Alex Smith and Ronald Darby, but they replaced them with William Jackson at cornerback and Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. They also added Curtis Samuel this offseason. Were we doing a team grades? What show were we doing when we were like, Washington's the favorite? It was like basically because they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, which seems
probably kind of, a mailbag, probably.
That seems right. It seems kind of insane to get that amped up about it. In hindsight, I sort of kind of like, you know, maybe the Giants even a little bit more. And by the way, Scherf is on the franchise tag. But I like what Washington did this offseason. You know?
I do too. And by the way, I should have mentioned this last segment before you took the break, but it just occurred to me, so I'm going to mention it now. Daniel Jones ran the 40 in 4.81, and we considered him a really good athlete.
Mac Jones.
4.79. Thank you. And I was thinking about that when you were talking about Dave Gettleman needing Daniel Jones to turn the corner, quit turning the ball over. But one of the things coming into the...
That's what you're saying, because what you need is Mac Jones to be really good. So you're like, ha-ha, screw you all.
Yeah. When he goes in the third round. But Washington, so funny thing, I was doing a radio show this week in Washington, and the host actually got mad at me for calling Washington football team. Like, I just have reflexively called them football team since they changed their name because I said...
What did he want you to call them?
Who was the host? To him, I'll tell you later. To him, it was a fine conversation. We actually talked for 20 minutes about draft related stuff. But at the very end, he said, I've enjoyed this, but I just want to figure out, are you making fun of Washington by calling them football? So I don't call them the football team. I just call them football team.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even occur to me. It just keeps me from saying what their name used to be when I had to put $5 in the swear. Yeah,
you're just trying to stop saying our skins.
And that's what I explained. And he said, yeah, you can just call them Washington. I said, yeah, good. But I'm not, like I said on this podcast, I think they have a really good chance to win the division. So if I want to make fun of them, I'd make fun of Dan Snyder.
If you want to call yourself the Washington football team, you're inviting yourself to be called the football team.
I like the name football team, by the way. I think it's awesome.
Sure.
But the host took it personally, which I thought was funny. Interesting. And by the way, I'm going to go on someone's show and just like troll them. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I love what they've done.
Yeah. By the way, they also added Adam Humphries at wide receiver too. I thought that was really important for them to beef up the wide receiver depth chart because Terry McLaurin is a stud. And, you know, we've seen some flashes from Cam Sims and Antonio Gandy-Golden looked, you know, Steven Sims. I mean,
when's your guy going to show up? Kelvin Harmon.
Kelvin Harmon. Yeah. Looking like he's not going to be a bust because he's a 6th-round pick, but you know,
that was the first indication that maybe NFL teams didn't love him as much as draft Twitter.
Yeah, maybe not. I love Kelvin Harmon too. I mean, look, he tore his ACL last year, so he's got some work to do. Anyway, Curtis Samuel, I think, you know, people were like, oh, like that coaching staff didn't know how to use him. It's like, well, I mean, he had monster years in Carolina. He just had his biggest year with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. I'm sure that, you know, Scott Turner will figure out what to do. So I like those little underneath weapons that can help out Fitzpatrick. They have a good offensive line, maybe not an elite one, but a good one. And defensively, you know, they also lost Ryan Kerrigan, which is kind of a problem, I guess. But I mean, Montez Sweat, yeah. Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Chase Young, Matt Ioannidis, James Smith Williams, who they drafted in 2020 in the 7th round, who I think is actually a player. They have tons of depth up front on defense, and adding William Jackson, I think, is a really nice pull. He came out of the gates firing for the Bengals and sort of slowed down. I think that's an upgrade over Ronald Darby. Kittle Fuller they brought in, I believe, and you know, they still have Landon Collins, who it looked like they might cut, but did not. You know, there's no reason to think that defense won't be good again, and I think there's a chance that the offense takes I don't know about significant step forward, but like a nice little half skip forward.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I think you have to be committed to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, they could draft a quarterback. They're not going to be able to draft one at 19 where they pick. They'll have to trade up for it if they would do that. But they could draft, circle back and get one in rounds 2 or 3. I think they have a 2nd-round pick. But I like what they do, too. And I think the lesson is that you start with the defense and go from there. Let the defense do the heavy lifting. Yeah, they do have a 2nd-round pick, so they could target one in the 2nd round or beyond. Let the defense do the heavy lifting and let Ryan Fitzpatrick keep you in the game. Now, the issue with Ryan Fitzpatrick, as we all know, is that
Will he throw you out of the game?
Is that every fifth game, is he going to throw 5 interceptions? But I still think, I mean, you have Taylor Heineke as a backup, and that's what he should be. I don't think he's going to win the starting job. You have to figure out the quarterback situation at some point. It doesn't look like it's going to happen immediately. But in that division, you can 100% compete. So that's great. So I give this a B-plus in terms of what they've done this offseason, in terms of addressing needs, in terms of giving Fitzpatrick and Heinicke playmakers and helping out Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson as the only real skill position threats that they have out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think B-plus is the right call, especially because they sort of took a realistic approach to the quarterback position, and they understood that – I mean, they tried to get involved with Matthew Stafford. I'm sure they would have loved to get involved with Deshaun Watson before his stuff happened, but that, you know, just it came to fruition. All right, this is not going to happen, and we don't have the draft pick to make something big in the draft happen. So let's lock up a guy who can elevate our floor, maybe bump up our ceiling a little bit, and go from there. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles, finally, they were busy, I guess, in the draft trade market. They also lost Jalen Mills. They did add Anthony Harris. I don't think they really added a whole lot at the...
Joe Flacco,
thank you. Am I, I'm not, they added a cornerback, didn't they? Oh, no, we were talking about Stephon Gilmore they were going to trade for. Yeah, they haven't done a whole lot, and that's probably because they didn't have any salary cap space, and that's probably because they had to trade Carson Wentz to the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz is taking up 16.34% of their salary cap, and he's not playing for them. Carson Wentz will have a bigger salary, the biggest dead cap hit in professional football history at $33.8 million this offseason. So that's pretty much what the Eagles did, was unload Carson Wentz for a future, knock on wood, first-round pick.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on here.
And they cut Malik Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun Jackson. They cut a bunch of guys. Zach Ertz still hanging around, TBD. It doesn't feel like this is a team that's competitive in 2021.
They're the worst team in this division right now, which is bonkers to say because the division was, again, garbage last year. And Philly was in it up until the end there, where Doug Peterson and in cahoots with Nate Sudfeld tanked that game so they could go, instead of getting, as Debo has pointed out so eloquently, instead of getting the ninth overall pick, they got the sixth overall pick, which allowed them to trade and get that extra first round pick. So props to them. But as we sit here, I don't think they're going to be super competitive in that division. Anything could happen. It all hinges primarily on Jalen Hurts, the offensive line, the defense all getting better at the same time. So this feels like, in terms of what they've done, I'll give them a C- only because of that trade down that got them an extra first round pick, which isn't quote unquote free agency, but it's, you know, future capital to do things with. But without that, this is a straight up D all day long, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, really, again, I mean, I'll say this. If your vision was to unload Carson Wentz, if your vision was to move on from Carson Wentz and find out in 2021 what you have in Jalen Hurts, and then to utilize what could be up to 3 first-round picks in 2022, I believe, if Carson Wentz is good for the Colts, if he plays all 16 games for the Colts, because they have the 2022 first-rounder coming from the Niners, right? Or is that 2023?
I don't know. They have one of those first-round.
All right, well, they have 4 first-round picks. They have one this year at 12th overall. At which point you would assume that they're going to, you know, utilize that to get a weapon for Jalen Hurts. You find out what you got in Jalen Hurts, you have 4 picks in the next 2 years minimum. And so if that's the case, man, I mean, I think you at least feel okay about, about what Philly can do for the long haul if, and this is a big if, you trust Howie Roseman to rebuild things. I mean, you know, so, but I agree. If you want to count that draft out, the draft trade as part of this, then sure, you can give them a C. If not, I agree, Wilson. It is a straight up.
Can we get Debo to weigh in? Or are we concerned about the audio?
I'm concerned about the audio, and I want to go play golf. So,
Debo called up before you came on the podcast.
That I wouldn't let him weigh in.
That you were not going to be dilly dallying around this podcast.
Well, that's right. I'm not, and the podcast is over. That's the NFC grades. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out the Mock Draft Monday podcast in the feed. See you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.